Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Inside segment. I'm Harold Fisher. Every state in the union is now in some stage of reopening in the midst of the coronavirus pandemic. Some people are breathing a sigh of relief. Others are saying not so fast. Tonight, we're debating this one issue. Is it time to open up or is it still just too soon? My guests are Jamila Bay, political analyst and Republican strategist Reynard Jackson. Lines are open. What do you think? I want to hear from you tonight. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Please keep your comments short. We want to try to get in as many comments as we possibly can, yay or nay. Jamila and Reynard, thanks for joining me. I appreciate it.
Harold, thank you for having me and Bebe's kids on there.
All right. So he started already. So let me first talk about today. Dr. Robert Redfield, the head of the CDC, just released a statement saying that we should see 100,000 deaths by June 1st. That's 13,000 more deaths between now and the first. That's 3 weeks. We are currently at more than 87,000 Americans. We also saw today the biggest protest yet in Maryland by Reopen Maryland at the state capitol. And yet, D.C. is still closed. The counties framing D.C., for example, Fairfax, Loudoun, Prince George's, Montgomery, Charles in Maryland, are still staying closed. Reynard, open or closed and why?
Well, I think it's about not open and closed, Harold. It's about choices. For example, in Georgia, where there's a lot of controversy, the governor there is a good friend of mine, and we've been talking back and forth. All the governor is saying to the people of Georgia is, hey, I'm going to allow businesses to open up. Now, as a consumer, you determine whether you feel comfortable or not. And I think philosophically, Harold, that's showing the difference between a conservative and a Republican. A conservative says the option is yours. You do what's in your own best interest. The liberals say we will tell you what's in your own best interest. And I think the American people are speaking out in protest against that view.
Well, as intelligent a man as you are, I wish that you had told your good friend a month or so ago that, yes, it is possible to be infected by people who do not show any symptoms. But that's another conversation. Let me say to Jamila, same question, open or closed and why?
Indeed, there are a lot of people who want to have the choice to do things that are not in their best interest. The role of the government is indeed to make it known that there are certain things, no matter how much you enjoy doing, because they impact the health and well-being of others, you may not do. I might think it's great to drive 135 miles an hour through a school zone on a beautiful sunny afternoon when the kids are getting out. The government limits my ability to do that because my freedom to drive 135 miles an hour need not impact negatively the life of little school children. We do this all the time, and this is a precise instance where the law needs to keep these places closed. See, here's the thing that the conservative people who want the choice to limit other people's, not just freedoms, but lives, won't tell you. When we look at the places that are reopening and we look at who is on those front lines, those are people who look like me. They are usually black women. They are poorer people. You cannot make a sandwich from your home office. You cannot clean somebody's grandmother or care for somebody's child remotely. And we are overwhelmingly represented in these service industry positions that the Karens of the world, and yes, I did say the Karens of the world, are demanding that we go back in and put ourselves at risk in order to make their lives more convenient. This is unprecedented. We don't know what happens when you get corona and then a year later happens. We don't know what the impact is going to be beyond the fact that we keep that the scientists and the doctors keep coming up with symptoms and ailments that we didn't even recognize were corona related. And these are things that, you know, a lot of these pro-liberty people are now, you know, in hospitals recognizing, oh, wow, maybe I should have just stayed home. Oh, wow, maybe I didn't need that haircut. So this is an issue not of choice. This is an issue of the government protecting its people, and the government needs to keep us safe.
Renard, do you believe that there is such a thing as acceptable losses during the course of this pandemic to open up the country?
Yeah, Harold, the answer to your question is yes. But I find it amazing, Harold, that more people die of the regular flu than have died.
Yeah, I don't want to talk about the regular flu. I don't want to do any of that because I really do think that one has nothing to do with the other. You know, we have flu shots and everything. You can't. Yeah, people die of car accidents, and this is not that. This is new. We never seen it before. And, you know, let's just talk about, you know, because if this were the flu, then the president and state leaders would be having press conferences every day like they are about the flu. This is not the flu.
But the difference is with this virus, you have no unanimity within the scientific community as to what the best course of action. And if you look at the media coverage, the mainstream media, they are covering this so one-sided, Harold, that they're trying basically to scare people into staying in the house. And there's a broader range within the scientific community as to what should be done, but you're not hearing the whole range of scientific analysis. You're hearing the liberal slant on all this, and I have a major issue with that.
But
all right, okay, Brother Renard, I refuse to believe, because I know you, that you are as dense as you are trying to come across right now. Forgive me. When you talk about the scientific community is not of one accord when looking at this virus and that the media is liberally slanted in talking about it in one way, what you're in essence saying is, you know, I love quoting Gene Weingarten. That's Mr. Hitler, on the other hand, can
Oh, okay, watch
journalism.
That, but go ahead, Jamil.
No. That's exactly what it is, because when you say that the scientific community doesn't know what it doesn't speak with one voice, doesn't have one accord, what we know, what the CDC knows, what the pandemic team that got fired knows, what the researchers that were in China for the U.S. that got pulled out by this administration know, is that this particular virus we have not seen in humans. What that means is that we cannot proceed as though, you know, this is a regular ailment. What we have to do is be overly cautious. An abundance of caution needs to be taken to make sure that fewer people get this. Now, we live in the DMV. Let me tell you what happens in this scenario today. If you live in PG County and your mama or your baby gets in a car accident and they're rushed to the hospital, you might have up to a 90-minute wait to get them in a bed right now. The issue is not that, oh, well, you know, some people get it and there's an acceptable loss of life. That's eugenics. That's why I went to the Mr. Hitler, on the other hand, contends. But when you recognize that this virus is taking resources and a lot of information that we don't have, we have to deal with these people. Who goes on a ventilator? Who gets in there? There are not enough beds that if we get a big spate of infections, because people had to go and get their nails did and get their hair done, when your baby shows up from a car wreck, when your mama shows up, you know, in diabetic shock, they do not have the means to do the best standard of care because there is a glut of infections in these hospitals. That's what we saw in Italy. That's what we saw in New York. And that's about to be what we see here and in Georgia because these people can't stay away from each other.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. In the midst of the pandemic, do you believe that it is too soon to reopen the country, or do you believe that it is now time to open up again? I want to hear from you tonight. What do you think? Yay or nay? 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Now, Reynard, I don't want to beat up on you, but you did. But you did say, you know, a couple of things that gave me pause. And the first thing, when you talk about, you know, the medical community is not all on board. Well, think about the people that the president is talking to every day. Dr. Redfield from the CDC, Dr. Birx on the task force, Dr. Fauci. These are three independent people who are constantly speaking with the same voice. Okay, and so I take issue with that. The other thing, the other thing I wanted to say was, you know, you said that the mainstream media is scaring people. I don't think the mainstream media is scaring people. I would say that the statistics are scaring people. When Prince George's County Executive Angela Alsobrooks says that 9 people on average die in Prince George's County, the county I grew up in, the county my mother lives in, where I have, you know, friends from way back in the day, I am afraid for them.
All right, a couple things. The illustrious Dr. Fauci, in January, he said there's nothing to be concerned about with this virus. He also said a couple weeks later that, no, we should not wear masks. Fauci has been all over the map on this stuff. If you look at his public pronouncements, so he's not the beacon of consistency that I would point to as far as public advice on how to deal with this, number one. Number two,
you know that's why HIV/AIDS is under control the way it is right now.
Don't deflect on me. Now,
I'm not. I'm saying that while he did say just this week when speaking to the Senate that he was not the end-all be-all, but, you know, I think we would be hard-pressed to find a more intelligent, well-learned infectious disease expert other than, you know, Dr. Anthony Fauci, but please go ahead.
Well, yeah, I know a lot of experts who are always wrong, but also remember all these models said that in America we will have 2 million people dead of this virus, and we're coming nowhere near 2 million. And so my point being, Harold and Jamila, is that we have had these models all over the map because the what you get in these models depend on the quality of the data and the assumptions you make. And isn't it amazing that when the media quotes all these models, they never, ever discuss what the underlying assumptions of all these models are? And when you start peeling back the layers, Harold and Jamila, you find some very flawed premises, which gives you flawed data, and no one wants to talk about that.
Let me go to the phone lines. Hold on, Jamila. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Bill calling from D.C. Be quick, please.
Yeah, as I was telling Jamila, I just think that, you know, I'm a worker, I'm on the front line, and I think that the misinformation and disinformation that is hitting us all has confused everyone. When you speak about the governors who are saying one thing, you have the mayor of D.C. saying something else, and then you have our president saying something that's totally off the wall. Nobody really knows what to do. And until someone figures out what numbers are real, what numbers aren't, and they also need to investigate Fauci. Fauci donated $3.7 million to Huang, and nobody's saying anything about that.
What do you mean? You got 20 seconds.
There's an article out about Fauci when they were investigating and doing this, the test or whatever they were doing in these labs, one lab in North Carolina and the other one in Wuhan. When they told them to stop the work on this stuff, Fauci gave $3.7 million to the Huon Lab, him and his organization. And nobody's talking about that.
Well, I can't, hold on, because just a minute, I've got to tell you, and that's why I can't vet this right now. But Bill, thank you so much for your phone call. We will take a look at that and see. Hopefully, I can't do it between now and the time this program ends, but I do believe that any question raised should be examined. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM channel 141. We will continue to take your phone calls even after 7:30. The original Quiet Storm is next on WHUR. This conversation is on Sirius XM channel 141. 202-319-7810. More of your questions and comments after the break. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Tonight we are debating the question, open or closed for America in the midst of the coronavirus pandemic? What do you think? I want to hear from you. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. My guests are Jamila Bay, political analyst, and Republican strategist Raynard Jackson. Okay. In that 15 seconds, before I let anybody else speak, and I hope that Bill is listening, that $3.7 million was not Fauci. It was an Obama administration grant that we know, based on a story on 60 Minutes a week ago, due to disinformation, not misinformation, but disinformation by Fox News, caused the Trump administration to cancel it. It was the Wuhan Institute of Virology in China, which some believe, as it has been reported, that because that money was stopped, that it contributed to where we are now in this global pandemic, which brings me back to the point. Stop listening to the propaganda. Do your real research. It wasn't Fauci. It was NIH. This was a grant. Okay?
But Fauci controls that grant, though.
Yeah, apparently not. Apparently not, because the Trump administration stopped it. So let's be clear about that. So let's go. And, you know, let us not say that, you know, 60 Minutes is some bastion of liberal news thought.
They are.
I would totally disagree. They've been around for longer than you and I. But anyway, it's Jamila's time to talk. Go ahead, Jamila.
Okay, so here's what we know. 1.5 million Americans have been infected with corona that we know of. More than 87,000 Americans have died. We're on pace to hit 100,000 American deaths by June. The problem is we don't know what happens. We don't know if you're an asymptomatic carrier, if 6 months from now while you're driving you stroke out because there are blood clots in your brain. We don't know if, you know, by the time a child who's dealt with corona is ready to graduate from high school, if they're going to have liver issues that will make them die. There's a lot that we don't know about this. And what that gets at is that we can project, we can model, but as you remember from the 2016 presidential election, projections don't always work. Math models do not always bear out with human behavior, and that's what we're dealing with here. Bottom line is that Americans sadly do not understand scientific method very well. We don't. That's an education issue. We can talk about that later. But I'm going to tip my own hat for a minute because I am trained as a science reporter. I'm trained as a health journalist. And the problem with the conversation we're having, frankly, is that we let this person in the White House get up and say anything, got people, you know, taking drugs that lupus patients need that don't work. you know, if it was up to him, there'd be people inserting lights into themselves, at least.
Oh, wow.
And,
wow.
Well, you know, blast it with UV light. Hey, that's what he said. But I do want to just fact check my brother Raynard real quick. Raynard, you said that Anthony Fauci back in January said there was nothing, you know, nothing to worry about, nothing. That's simply not true.
Let her finish. Go ahead.
He never said that. You know, the issue of face coverings, the back and forth about face coverings is not should you cover your face or not. It's about, you know, well, do you need a 95 mask or not? What does it protect you against or for? The average person covering their face, number one, it's going to stop them from touching their face, which we know is a route of transmission. Number two, if you sneeze and cough and I talk all loud and spread my germs everywhere, if I have a face covering on, it protects you. It's no different from saying that, you know, if you want to drive, you wear a seatbelt. You may not smoke in a car with a child in it. Those are things that the government imposes that do limit the freedom of adults, but they do it because they increase life on the other hand. I don't believe that there's an acceptable issue of, well, some people just expendable. No, that's what they did in Nazi Germany.
Oh,
that's
wow.
Letting certain people, killing off the undesirables, that is Nazi eugenics.
And let me interrupt you there. Hold on.
From here.
And let me interrupt you there. Not so much that, but we had retired Lieutenant General Russell Honoré on earlier this week. I asked him the same question, and this is what he said. He said that in a shooting war, there are acceptable casualties. He said this is not, he said this is a war, but this is not a shooting war, number one. Number two,
civilians.
I realize that. That's my point. And that's the point that he was making. And to the other point, before I go back to the phone lines, Reynard, you know, you mentioned the flu earlier. Yeah, the flu averages about 16,000 deaths a year. We are at 87,000 deaths in 5 months. Again, that is completely different. Let me go to Veronica calling from Maryland. Veronica, thanks for hanging on. What's on your mind?
I agree wholeheartedly with the female guest you have. And also, I just don't know where the debate lies so much with the distractions. I just think we need to adhere to the social distancing, the masking. I am a healthcare clinician, and this is all preventative measures that we need to implement. Without them, you still have those freezers. You know, I don't want people to lose sight of the freezer trucks that were lined up in New York that were taking so, you know, they had to put those in place to hold so many bodies because the hospital morgues just could not contain the number of deaths that have occurred. So none of this should be taken lightly. If they ask to wear a mask, you need to wear a mask. Social distance. We all need to adhere so that we can survive this. Otherwise, the spikes are going to escalate, and it's going to be more, the numbers are going to escalate more than what they're, you know, just increasing. It's not going to flatten out, and that is the ultimate goal. And I think we need to take a page out of the other countries that are on the other side of this. You know, those citizens may not have understood the science to the nth degree. However, they were adherent to what the government ask them to do. Of course, I know that our government is not asking us to do to the extreme of what the other countries did, but they are on the other side because of those measures.
Okay. Veronica, thank you so much. Help me with something, Reynard, because, you know, I do understand, and I think that as shutting down America, as we saw in Italy, is not realistic. And at some point, yes, there does need to be considerations, you know, to help, you know, save the economy. And I do have a concern that for some reason, even pre-COVID, that the Republican Party seems to have lost sight of is the, you know, the swelling deficit. And now with the packages that are that have been passed and that are before us, I do worry about what that may do to our economy long term and our, you know, children and grandchildren. But here's my other thing. I am really, really concerned about, for example, what we have seen in Michigan and what we have seen in Richmond. Can you tell me why? When we haven't seen it in Maryland yet. But can you tell me why the reopen protesters carry guns and, you know, the Confederate battle flags? Can you help me with that?
Well, that's easy, Harold. Number one, the states you mentioned, they are open carry states. In Maryland, it is not an open carry state, so that explains the gun situation. But these protesters.
Well, I'm not talking about. I'm talking about the attitude. I'm not talking about whether you know. I had a friend of mine tell me years and years ago, just because you can doesn't mean you should. And I guess my question is, and this could be another topic for another day. God forbid that a black man storms the state capitol in Michigan with an AR-15. We may not see him after that. And so I'm just kind of wondering, I'm just really, really concerned about that. Your voice can be heard to reopen Michigan or reopen wherever without guns and racist symbols. Why is that? What does one have to do with reopening?
Well, again, it's that they are in within the limits of the law with the gun. Now, I cannot speak for them, Harold, as to why they feel necessary to go, but it's their right to do that. So let's get that settled. Number one, in Michigan, isn't it amazing that it's okay for a marijuana dispensary and a liquor store to be open, but a church cannot have Sunday services? So when you look at the decision making by these governors, isn't it amazing how they, you can tell their politics by what they allow to be open or not open? And if you can't open the house of God, but yet you can go to a liquor store or a marijuana dispensary, we got a problem. We got to, and nobody wants to talk about this. So how is it that these choices the governors are making?
I want to talk about it.
Yeah, well, go ahead, Jamila. Help me out here.
Okay, a church, a liquor store, particularly in the neighborhood that I live in, and the neighborhood that a lot of our people live in, allows you to use your SNAP card for food. It's not just people going in there to buy alcohol. That is a big part of it. It is a liquor store.
Wow, really?
But they serve. Yeah, they do actually serve. They serve a purpose in our community. You can go in and get things you need if you're buying food quickly. You can social distance. You can have 3 and 5 people in there maximum at a time. There's no kiss of peace in a liquor store. A church service, by its definition, is for people to come and congregate and clap and share fans and use the same hymnals and touch each other and spread whatever people have. Why are all these pastors down in Louisiana that refuse to close? Why are they dead now? Why are there outbreaks in places where people?
You don't need the Louisiana. I mean, it happened in Louisiana. Come on. It happened in Richmond. Come on. Let's talk about hashtag facts here.
That's too easy to disprove.
You can always find the outbreaks. Antidotes about stuff like that.
The reason that they're saying don't go to church, Raynard, is that the transmission with a lot of people is bigger. If I am asymptomatic and I go in a church and I kiss Sister Jenkins, who rides in an Uber with Brother Franklin, I done infected potentially 4 households at minimum, if those are the only people I interact with, let alone if I, you know, give hugs to the whole choir. Or if I'm in
so I can't hug
singing.
Someone in a liquor store, you know, that I run into.
You're not going to hug me. I'm going to tell you that. Not right now.
That's a whole other conversation we need to have, because that ain't kosher. That ain't kosher. That ain't halal. And I don't know. But you hug people in a liquor store, I will take your word for it. But that's not a political issue. That's a health issue. Bottom line, we do not have enough tests. If we knew that we could test every American that said, I may have been exposed, then we would know that I'm not exposing, you know, Mother Jenkins when I go in the church because I've had a test. We don't have adequate testing.
No, this is a backdoor way for you liberals to let
thing, Raynard. One of the most heartbreaking things about this discussion for me is that the COVID-19 virus is apolitical. It kills everybody, number one. And you know, we can talk about the bishop down in Richmond who said he was covered by the blood of Jesus. I am a Christian, I do believe, but I also believe that God gives us discernment to make sure that we are doing what we can to protect ourselves. He died of COVID-19, but he wasn't political. But it was the guy in Ohio who was part of the original protest who died of COVID-19. That is heartbreaking for me because this was one of the people who, went down to the state capitol in Columbus to protest with his gun. And he was around people. He died of COVID-19. Now, that was a conservative. I don't know if he was a Republican, but he was with. That bothers me.
You got to look at the data, for example.
I don't need data to know that we have somebody who's using the same argument that you're using, Raynard, who is now dead. And what about all the black folks who have died?
Elvis Presley died of a heart attack on his death certificate. No, he did not. He died of cocaine intoxication that caused his heart to attack him. That's what he died of, cocaine, not of a heart attack.
So you mean to tell me that the thousands of black people who are all of a sudden dying once this disease was discovered, you're saying that's something else? Is that what you're saying?
Let me tell you something, Harold. I'm
asking, yes or no? Is that what you're saying?
Harold, I had a friend of mine that died this week. Father had major heart issues. When he died, they said it was COVID-19. It was not. His heart gave out. But so my friend is going to court to get that changed on the death certificate.
Okay, so like you said, that's anecdotal. But we also do know that there are statistics that bear out that there are underlying health factors.
Yes.
That contribute to vulnerability from this disease. And so my question to you is, are you suggesting that all of a sudden, these 87,000 people who have died in America since January, are you suggesting that they would have died of something else without COVID-19 being an issue?
We need to investigate that because some hospitals have been shown to have been cooking the books on the cause of death.
Again, the people who were on the president's task force not only say that the 87,000 who have died, and that number may be low. And even the president said today that he hoped that that number was an overestimation, but he said he did not know. Jamila, your thoughts about this? Because this, like I said before, I just think this whole thing is troubling me, and I really don't think that it is a partisan political issue. This is a health issue.
It's not a partisan political issue. Death is death. And the fact is, if we look to the White House right now, that place is rampaging with COVID-19 infections. The fact that Boris Johnson and Prince Charles in Britain had COVID-19. I mean, this is not a political thing. And the fact that in the U.S., basic science information, wash your hands, cover your mouth, is turned into a political thing. This is what not making your kids read Orwell does. You grow up and then, you know, want to take a bazooka to get a sandwich made for you by some child who's making minimum wage. This is a class issue. The fact that the people who are going to be forced back to work first are overwhelmingly poor, overwhelmingly black, that's a problem, because what it's saying is that you people are the chum that we're going to throw into the wheels of the economy so that the capitalist sharks can bite and eat and feed. This is a problem. We're not talking about that. And again, I have to point out, we don't have the test to know. We look at rates of people who are dying at home, and all 50 states, they're higher than they usually would be. What's making people lay down and stop breathing such that they can't get up ever again? We can I'll concede for a moment to my brother Raynard here. I'll concede that there probably are people who died in the hospital that maybe COVID isn't the thing that killed them. But there's all these people dying at home, and there aren't enough tests to make it clear what actually is killing them. Yeah. We can't even properly mourn our dead right now because we can't get together in groups because the risk to the living is too great. That's a problem. So don't talk to me about, oh, it's a liberal thing that wants to, you know, force poor black subsistence workers to go into these service industry jobs and make sure that life is comfortable for those of us who can afford to, you know, to threaten them when they ask us to cover our faces. Like, that's not a real thing. It shouldn't be a real thing. We should be looking at Capitol Hill, and we should definitely be looking at the White House about why do we know that our executive branch knew about this Christmas time, and here we are today. You know, kids can't go to school.
Well, actually, the president did make a comment today during the press conference that they've been working on a vaccine since January. Now, that was a really strange thing for the president to say when he's been saying, he said it during the press conference, during the vaccine press conference today at the White House. That's a really strange thing for him to say when prior to today, he is saying that they did not know.
The military is always working on.
He wasn't talking about the military. He was talking about these pharmaceutical companies that the federal government announced a partnership today.
And to put a solution.
Say again.
They are always working on cures to different diseases.
But certainly they would. Yeah, absolutely. They're still working on a cure for HIV. But my point is, the president said today that the company was working on this issue since January. This is the very first time that President Trump has suggested. I won't say admitted.
You have your tin hat on today too, Harold?
Say again?
You have your tin hat on, your fall hat.
I was sitting here watching it live. And my point is, all jokes aside, that this is the first time that the president even suggested that this issue was something that he was aware of since January.
Well, working on a cure, that surprises you?
No, it surprises me that he said that he knew they've been doing it. That's my issue, and that's where it becomes politicized. Because again, and I go back to this other issue about all of these black people who are dying, who have all of these underlying conditions, and again, we go back to Angela Alsobrooks in Prince George's County. When you say that the number one killer of people in the county is COVID-19 at 9 people a day. Yes, that is scary. And for those who aren't scared, I don't understand why you would
not be. But Harold, this didn't just happen. This has been going on for 50-plus years in the black community's underlying health disparities.
And that's a completely different conversation. That's
no,
a complete,
but,
yeah, it's
so
a complete.
Just hit the scene.
No, that, no, I'm, yeah, but no, that's a different conversation. Because, and we have been on this program for more than 40 years talking about that, even before I was here. That's not my point. My point is that now there is something that will trigger the demise of all of these black people because of these underlying conditions. Yes, diabetes may have killed some of these people eventually. Obesity may have contributed to the demise of some of these people eventually. Yes, hypertension may have contributed to the demise of some of these people eventually. But when we look at Mr. Valentine, who was on the mayor's staff in the attorney general's office, when that man was diagnosed on a Wednesday and he was gone the following week, and it was COVID-19, that is scary, you know. And you know, God rest his soul, but I think that is a prime example, and that is not an analogy. He is no longer there.
No, that's true. No, but Harold, you know what? Nothing is going to change relative to these underlying health disparities in the black community.
I'm not talking about the disparities, because there are some people who don't have the disparities, and they're still gone.
Yeah, no question.
This disease. So how do you think this should be treated? I'll let you have the floor. Are we just open up and just let the people die who are going to die and let the ones who are going to survive survive because the president said vaccine, or no, we're open?
Well, I'm going to say something, Harold, that you rarely hear in this town. A lot of the questions you are asking, there is no answer for. This is new to uncharted territory. And as opposed to saying we don't know, these political folks keep trying to contrive solutions and answers. Why don't they just get up here and say, we don't know where we're going. We're playing this kind of by ear. And we'll adjust as we go along. That is the real answer.
Jamila, thoughts?
It seems to me that that's precisely what's going on. We're saying, hey, this thing, there's a lot that we don't know. We don't know what effect it's going to have neurologically. We don't know. We're finding that we thought it didn't really affect children. However, there's a syndrome that they're getting that we're really concerned about, because it can be fatal, and we don't know, again, what the long-term ramifications are. We don't know what's happening 6 months down the line. So people, what we need to do is we need to stay home. We need to not mingle. We need to stay out of these churches and not hug Sister Jenkins and kiss Brother Franklin. That's what they're saying. That's exactly what they're saying. So I don't understand why, Raynard, you're saying we need to say we don't know. That's what the science community has been saying. They're saying there are so many unknowns with this. What we need to do is make sure that as few people as possible are exposed. We need to make sure that we put these measures in place to preserve and protect human life. And it would be really great if our government was on board with that. It would be really great if our government was interested in helping to preserve life, period. And it would be even more exceptional if we still had a pandemic response team, but Trump fired everybody. We are flat-footed in ensuring that we can respond to this thing that we knew was coming.
Cuomo said he was shocked to find out that most of the people that died in New York are the ones who stayed at home. Those who were going out were not the ones. I find that amazing that he would admit that.
That's not what he said. It's not about most of the people who are dying. There are people who are saying, we have stayed home, we have not gone out, and yet we're coming up with corona. So what we have to do is look at, okay, like in Legionnaire's disease, what was the airflow in those buildings? Was there, you know, was there some kind of coolant tower that was sucking air through? Was this recycled air? We have to look at other modes of transmission. That's what he's saying, not, oh, well, you sat home and did everything right and still got it. That's not what Cuomo was saying at all, and it's a grave misrepresentation to say
so. No. You all are making policy decisions on information where you all have unknown variables, and so you're using this
That's
as an opportunity to promote
decisions.
Your political agenda when versus promote a scientific
unknowns.
Agenda.
Well,
when
suffice it to say, I mean,
you defer to the experts, you defer to the NIH, you defer to the CDC. There was a time where the U.S. was the world's lead in all of this. We even had researchers in Wuhan, China, and they got yanked by this administration. There is blood on the hands of the executive branch, and the fact that the blood is overwhelmingly black and Poe means that people don't give a damn. And that's
not true.
I got to stop right here. Listen, I want to thank both of you, Jamila Bay and Renard Jackson. And Renard, don't go hugging folks in the liquor store, please. Please stay safe. Wear a mask because I want you to live through this as well, so that we can continue to have your voice of conservative opposition. So please be safe, Jamila. Also, you be safe as well. That is the Daily Drum on this Friday, May 15th. For News Director Renee Nash, reporters Bramante Bryant, Millette Green, producer Candace Atkins, and engineer Bobby Adams, I'm Harold Fisher. Now stay tuned for The Connection. Be safe. Have a wonderful weekend. Good night.